after the halachas of the order of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, we then enter into the whole realm of Yisurei Arayos, all the forbidden relationships, and we read both on Yom Kippur, one Yom Kippur morning, one Yom Kippur by Mincha time. The Inyanim of Arayos begins in Perek Yurched. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am Hashem your God. Do not perform the practice of the land of Egypt in which you dwelled, and do not perform the practice of the land of Canaan to which I bring you, and do not follow their traditions." A very famous end, Ubichukoseim lo telechu, really something we're not going to focus in on very much today, but it's the source of not following in the ways of the Goyim with specific halachic ramifications. Rashi notes, and this is in source number 2, where he says, the Egypt of Canaan, why were these two lands mentioned? That you shouldn't do the practice of the land of Egypt and do not perform the practice of the land of Canaan. Right? Why these two specifically? There are many lands you shouldn't follow the practices. These two lands, the one which Israel dwelt for 210 years and the one to which they were going, were the most morally decadent in the world. By stressing the parts of the lands in which the Jews dwelled and to which they would be brought, the verse implies that these areas were the worst sections of the respective country. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, the Kli Yikar alludes to this question, source number 3, what's going on here? Kadosh Baruch Hu puts us into the worst part? You mean Yosef HaTzadik and Eretz Goshen found the worst part of Eretz Mitzrayim to put us in? Lo yitachein davar kaseh, it doesn't make any sense. How do we understand that Hashem specifically put us into difficult situations? And we know, and Hashem wants us to be able to not follow their ways. So how do we explain this medrash that Rashi quotes, that do not follow the ways of Canaan, do not follow the ways of Mitzrayim, and recognize that those were the two most difficult, really decadent places that I place you in? Do not follow their ways. Question number 1, how do we understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu specifically put us into such a difficult situation? It's almost like setting us up for failure. Question number 2 is, why is the introduction, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am Hashem your God? Well, obviously, we know Hashem is our God. Why is this the prelude to this entire section? And question number 3, and this is the question we'll begin with, is when it refers to do not perform the practice of the land of Egypt in which you dwelt, and do not perform the practice of the land of Canaan, ask Rav Schlesinger and Eila Dvarim, as well as many other Mefarshim, what exactly is this trying to teach you? Is this a lota saying the Torah don't do their ways? Well, we don't even have in the pasuk what their ways are. Like, what are we not supposed to be doing? And would this not be included in the general, you know, formula of the lota sev, lotishtachavev lahem, velotav deim? And we have throughout the Chumash telling us, yishamer lecha pen tishkach l'shem lukecha, lotechun achre luki elohim acharim elohe amim asher sivosechem. We have other places which shells do not follow the gods of these other nations. So therefore, when we have a pasuk like this, that do not perform the practice of the land of Egypt, and do not perform the practice of the land of Canaan, hey, what is their practice? The Chumash doesn't say. Don't do K'mayseh Eretz right. What is that? And B, what is it trying to teach us? I won't find elsewhere in the Chumash, which tells us, don't do the Avodah Zarah. What is this coming to add? The imagery that we need to have to answer all of these questions, and this is the imagery I want us to keep in the back of our minds, and we'll tap into it throughout the Shirim Yirtz Hashem, is a beautiful medrash on this pasuk, and this is source 4. Amar Rabbi Berechia, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Lech Amor Lahem Yisrael, go tell the children of Israel, Kishayitem B'Mitzrayim Heyitem Domim L'Shoshana Ben Achochim. When you were in Egypt, you were like a rose among the thorns. Now that you're entering into the land of Israel, I also want you to be like a rose among the thorns. Be careful that you don't do both, like what was done in Egypt and like was done in Eretz Israel. And my friend, Why, this is so nogei l'chayinu anu, albeit we may not have the practices of Egypt and the practices of Canaan, but what we'll see here is really the yesod of what it means for a Jew to live in Golus. What does it mean for a Jew to be surrounded, even if not living in physical Golus? What does it mean to be surrounded by the culture of the nations around us? And what the Chumash is telling us is not just a law or a directive to Klal Yisrael at that particular time. This is for all time. And Chumash is timeless. And what it's really doing is speaking to you and me, whatever situation we're in. What are the aspects of the Maisa Canaan and Maisa Mitzrayim we shouldn't be doing? And what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us into these difficult situations? How are we supposed to understand what it means to be a Jew in Golus? How do we need to understand what it means to be both on a global, national level and on the individual, specific level, a Shoshana ben Ochochim arose among the thorns? Now that we have our work cut out for us, let's start Tzad. What was this Maisa Eretz Mitzrayim that we're forbidden to do? Let's try to understand this a little bit, and this will give us a deeper understanding then of our first question of why Hashem puts us into these situations. So our Seisinger notes, he says, Im nitakdek b'lushon ha'psukim, source 6, nimsa, shebaser ha'dibur ne'amar sivui b'lushon ma'asi, al etzem avodah l'olohim acherim. In the Aser HaDibro, when it tells us not to worship idols of the other nations, it says it in world of action. Lo tishtachav elahem, don't bow down to them. Velo tavdem, don't serve them. Lo yelecha, you shouldn't have. However, in our psukim, we find something a little bit different. And that is that it's not the actual actions of what they were doing. To follow in the ways of the gods. Which means, there are really two stages. Stage one is the actual Avodah Zarah. But there's a stage that precedes stage one. There's a prelude stage. And that stage is going in the ways, doing things that are going to draw you and draw your attention, which are then going to lead you to worshiping Avodah Zarah. And that's why Mitzrayim was known as the place of Znus, the place of immorality. Canaan was known as the place, even though both of them, of Avodah Zarah. So he says it. So for example, Kamo Kriyali Skezima Verva Siatrim Shemisamneh Shalosima. Okay, so Znus, we know, to actually have immoral relations. The Arayos, we know that's off. We're not allowed to. But what about reading things that will bring out the enticement in us? What about seeing things? This is part of don't go in their ways, which means don't even look down the street that will ultimately lead you to that destination. Don't begin the slippery slope. And that is what the psukim here are teaching us. The psukim here are teaching us that it's not only a question of don't worship these things. That's obvious. But you have to set up safeguards that you're not even going to come to a situation, to a position where it's going to be almost inevitable that you're going to fall into these traps. And that's what the Ol Moshe says clearly. Elish Tzarich in 7 in the bold. We are being told here that we're forbidden to do the things that are them in themselves, maybe not a terrible thing, but it will bring us to this level. And this is what the Chumash is teaching us. It's very important not just to stay away from the actual service, but as Jews, we set up for ourselves gedarim. We set up for ourselves parameters and barriers that we don't even come to that situation. We don't even watch things that are questionable. Obviously, to watch Znus, to watch immorality, is lo tzarich levav chem rechaynechem. I grant you that. But what about those things that are borderline? What about doing those things that are questionable? That's what the Chumash is telling us. And with these areas, we have to be equally careful. The Chasam Sofer adds a different dimension. And he notes in source number 8, the Torah is implying that even their positive practices, the more advanced law codes, should not be adapted by Klal Yisrael. The Torah certainly recognizes the need for Gentile world to adapt legal systems of their own, to the extent that developing a law-abiding society is one of the 7 Noahide commandments. Their law solely exists for the purpose of enhancing life in this world. They're missing the godly element in this world. And this is what, again, the Almoshe Rav Scheinerman points out based on Svasemis. What's the whole problem with not entering into the slippery slope? What's the whole inyan of staying away even from the chukos hagoyim, the laws of the nations that they've established that are part of the 7 Noahide laws? Why can't I embrace such a system? And he says it's because the nekudat ha-motza, the point of departure of the nations, is very different than the point of departure of Jews. And he says this clearly. Let's take a look in the asterisk in 9. Lo maaser Yitzrayim sasfas emes mamam. Obviously, they're not going to do the ways of the Egyptians. They're holier than that. Again, as we noted, it's a point of departure. With the Goyim, the nations are doing this for self-enhancement. For what will I get out of it? For personal gratification. Our job is to be able to elevate the physical world and to be able to live on a level of spirituality. So I can be going to the store and a guy can be going to the store. They're going to buy, you know, whatever the staples are in order to live. I'm buying these staples in order to be able to have the strength to serve Hashem. It's the same bread and milk, but it is a totally different bread and milk or bread and butter, whatever you may want to look at it. And this, we have to understand, and this is the chen b'chol ma'isa v'ma'isa shadam osa tzarich liyot ha'mechuvan lavo ideza liyoter kedusha. Every action we do has to be to bring us closer to holiness. Shiuchal lo sipa cholemi madrega la madrega as a mitzvah gereres mitzvah. And as the Sfasema says, Adam yacholi nahega piha halacha, who I know so temi dvara shulchan aruch. A person can follow the halacha, you know, to down to the iota of what the shulchan aruch says. Ava pnimiyud ma'asav e'nashol nami tocha ma'asem shalom shem Yitzrayim. But you're really no different than the people of Yitzrayim. Shnehem oskim b'davar achad v'gashmias u'bikush taivas olam hazeh. So my friends, let's try to understand. When we're speaking about we should follow the ways of the Mitzrayim, well, what are the ways of the Mitzrayim? So clearly, obviously, it's their znos, it's their immorality, it's the avodah zarah, you shouldn't follow in those ways. Ah, that's not teaching us something new, we know that from other psukim. Ah, so what is this teaching us? So on one level, it's teaching us we shouldn't go down roads that are going to lead there. Great. It means that we have to be careful with even the laws that they establish. What are we really saying? It's that when you live in such an environment, they recognize that that environment is subsumed with one focus. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. What is it for me? And the whole world revolves around the axis of ego. And we know ego stands for one of the things, easing God out, where Hashem is not in the picture. And that's why a person can live, quote-unquote, a halachic life, but is in reality no different than a Mitzri. And that's what the Chumash is telling us. Don't do Kemaisa Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is only interested in self. We have to be able to have Shivisti Hashem L'negdi Tami, that Hashem is placed in front of me at all times in all aspects of my life, and be able to focus in on this higher realm, in this higher dimension, to understand why am I here. I'm here to elevate, to be Mekadesh, the physical, into the world of the spiritual. And the Emek HaParashah, source number 10, in this essay, speaks about this very clearly. And he says in 11, second paragraph, Choval Adam L'Kasher Et Chayav HaMasim. You know what our challenge is, and it's unique to a Jew, is to be able to take our entire lives and connect it to the world of Torah and mitzvot. Im lo yasezo lo yisharu chayav kefi sheheim. If you're not going to be able to do this, then what is it worth? You know, I was just reading a mishpacha piece about this great woman, Pearl Benish, who wrote To Vanquish the Dragon, Carry Me in Your Heart, a student of Sarah Schneerer, who was just niftaret around Pesach time at the age of 100 years old. And they wrote in this article is that she would practice with her walker to walk from the, you know, one part of the house to the window. And she said, why am I practicing? So I'll be able to greet Mashiach when Mashiach comes. The walking is in order to be able to have a vision of something higher. This was a person who was a great loss for Klal Yisrael because she really represented a live link in the chain from the world of Sarah Schneerer, from that original Beis Yaakov world, into our world, and to see Dorei Doros and to raise them in Dorei Doros. She was a very powerful personality. I'll just add here in parentheses, which has nothing to do with anything, but fascinating nonetheless, I had the opportunity to share a room with Pearl Benish at an Aguda convention many years ago, 10, 12 years ago, and it was fascinating. She called me Malka. And I said, my name is Amalka. She says, you're like Amalka, you're like a queen, I call you Malka. She was a fascinating personality. So I remember, just share one mindset. It was a very powerful experience just to meet such a woman. I remember that I had asked her the whole question about lighting candles in a hotel, brachos, not getting into it. We all know it. So I had asked her if she could have me in mind when she lit so I wouldn't have to light. So I remember it was very powerful. She rolled up her sleeve, showed me her number, and she says, every time I light having in mind all those people who aren't around today to light. Is it such a big deal to add one more person to think about? Right? This was a person who was living on a plane beyond the herself, into a world of Klal Yisrael, into a world of Nitzrios. And this is a type of world that each and every one of us needs to work on and use these role models and to embrace this type of reality. And as he continues in Source 12, Achein Yireh Lefi Zeh Lomar Shezeh Atam Bishalo Biyah Torah Ki Sur Bifnei Atzmo Et Adin Shemechukoseim Lo Teilechu משום שבאה תורה כאן לדבר, עיקר החובה להתרחק מעצם התרבות של מצרים ושאר הומות, אשר עיקר עולמם היא לקדש את הגשמיות, the taivos. The problem with the physical world, and we know this, my friends, the problem, and that's why the Chumash is so eternal with Mitzrayim and Canaan. Forget the morality, don't forget it. Forget the Avodah Zarah, don't forget that either. But their whole focus was in on physical pleasures. We spoke about this last week. The whole idea of the Chomer, the Levanim, the Chumrios, to be able to get as much physical passion as one can. To live in such a life is going from pleasure to pleasure, and you leave out the spirituality in such a life. Rabosai, is this any... this unfamiliar to us? We're living in such a world right now. And we have to recognize, listen to number 15, what the Emek HaParsha says. Listen to this. Aleinu ladar b'yidia berura, we have to know with clarity. Ki taraseinu akdosha yemakor l'chol ha-chochmos, our Torah is a source of all wisdom. And it solves all of our problems. And it fills with tremendous joy anyone who follows in its path. It is the roadmap of the identity of what we're searching for. You want to know why we're here? It's not from going from pleasure to pleasure. It's to find meaning in this world, to have purpose in this world. Do you want to know where the meaning and purpose come from? Because of the Torah. The only way to be successful in this world is to lead a Torah-tic life. And he gives us an example. Nasir Shiyeshlo Koma Shehu Tzarich. A prince with everything they need. Everything they need is in the palace. The gam lawyer say he's not going to need and going to want l'chapei shum davar b'kfarim nidachim. Well, such a prince has everything they need in the palace. Go to some far-flung village to find, you know, their needs met? No, of course not. Ein lanu shum sorech b'chukim shalamim zarim v'chochman chitzonios lo basis anishanot al mishanet k'nei ratzuv. Rabbeinu say we are that prince. We have everything we need in a Torah world. What are we doing looking outside of this world for meaning and for purpose and to follow in their ways and to be immersed in their culture to be able to fill a need of ours? This is it. Don't do kemaisa mitzrayim, which is the world just surrounding you. Are you not, do you not realize that everything you have is in the Torah world? If you go looking for other things in other worlds, it's showing that you're not satisfied with what you have in this world. Now, obviously, chachma b'goyim tamin, for sure there's chachma you can learn. But a way of life, a lifestyle, pleasure, this is where you're going to find it. There's no greater pleasure than the pleasure of Torah life, a pleasure of helping other people, of living a life, of developing spirituality and the giving muscles. There is no happier or greater life than that. And that's why, again, the Omosha notes what we saw before. A person, lo aleinu, can be over 17, se'if in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's a davar chamur v'nara. Ach mikol makom lo yitzah b'klai Yisrael, he's still part of Klai Yisrael. You can have a person who may not be going over any law of the Shulch, of the Mishnah Berurah, but is living the antithesis of what a Jew is about. Rabbosai, even before we go on, we need to look ourselves in the mirror and ask myself, am I a person who's living in the palace of the king and who's satisfied with that palace? Am I raising my children to be satisfied in that palace? Or am I in a dimension which is all about what is, you know, what? Where's the grass greener on the other side? Or how can I have more pleasures? Or let me find the latest and greatest computer, whatever it is, because that's going to satisfy and that's going to fill. Rabbosai, what is wrong with us? Where are we putting our emphasis? Where is our focus in life? That's what the Chumash is telling us. Take a hard look at yourself. Be happy and satisfied and embrace the gifts and the godliness and the godless that you have. Now I have a little secret to tell you, and this is an important secret. And that's what the Birkas Mordechai Rav Yitzrachi speaks about, based on the Rechaim HaKadosh in our Parsha. He says, when you take a look at the taiva, at the desire of what Mitzrayim represented, the desire of znus, of immorality, and the Avodah Zarah of Canaan, and they both had a little bit of each, it's not easy to hold yourself back. There is a very strong temptation. 19, summarizing the Arachayim, Ein Adam Shalei Peruach Zeh L'Chalotam Imenu. It's hard for a person to really be able to control themselves. So he says, Hayachav Sharim Kein L'Tzavot Etalov Ta'asu Halo Kfar Kel Shadosh Shal Arachayim Anusu Bahem. To a certain degree, you're forced. It's very attractive, it's very enticing, and the road down, you know, is a very slippery slope. How do you stop yourself? There's a real pull towards things that bring us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't believe me, which I know you do, just look to your right and to your left. Look at our children. Look at our grandchildren. Look at all the games and all the technology and what's on it that's pulling them. You know, the selfies and all of this stuff. It's about self. It's about the ego. It's about who's friending me. It's all revolving around me. And that's what's kosher about it. I'm not even talking about the people who are addicted to the pornography online, which lo aleinu is among our camp as well. So what are we supposed to do if it's such a strong enticement? So it's very nice to say, aren't you happy being in the palace of the king? I may be happy, but you know what? I'm living among the nations, and I'm bombarded by it. I walk into a mall, I walk into a store, and you're just inundated with it. It's like, how do you stop yourself? You know, it reminds me, this is just has nothing to do with anything, but I'll share it anyway. I remember when we first moved to Eretz Yisrael, my older daughter was 4.5, 5 at the time. We took a bus with a group, with a shul group, to a monkey park or something, and they showed on the screen Bar the elephant. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like a cartoon, I think, Echves. And she looked outside the window the entire time, and I turned to her and I said, "Ruch, like what's pshat?" She said, "Ima, I know I shouldn't be watching these things. There are other beautiful things that I can watch looking outside." Now, that takes a lot of strength of character, which most 5-year-olds really don't have. A little secret to tell you, most 50-year-olds don't have that either. So how do we survive? Most of us aren't like that. How do we deal with it? Kiskulam yuchadet hi asher hutba aidei abori olam b'nefesh ha-yisraeli dafka halohi koach ha-saga belokos. The answer is, what we have going for us, the arsenal to fight, is we recognize that we are godly people. Skula zod eina benimsa ela eitzel yisraeli legoyim ein benimsa skula kazo. This is unique to us. 20. Hagoyim amnam enam sugolim litgaber al tivam. Hei bemen anusim al chashkam atavenati. It's very hard for a goy. They don't have this to be able to overcome desires. Hai yisraeli mahur acheret heima. Lahem koach amyuchad latsig elukuto. ומשכנה כוח ההצגה הזה משכנהו בקרב הישראלי כוח האלוקי נוצח את כוח הטבעי. This is a pillar, 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 mamash. It's amazing. It's astounding. But the Archaim HaKadosh is telling us that we have the ability to bring in as our arsenal, I am a nefesh aloki. I am a godly person. And that explains one of our questions. Why does this section begin? Say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem, your God. Duh. And we have it all over. What is this coming to add? It is the forerunner of the whole parsha. How do you not fall into the trap of the culture around you? How do you not fall into the internet, web, and get pulled into all of this? How do you maintain a standard above and beyond in a world that is a world full of depravity? The answer is, Ani Hashem Elokechem. I am the Lord your God, and I put within you a godly spirit, and the godly spirit has the ability to overcome teva. Hashchina mamash mekirbo memaleinu ritzono. Hashem kivyochol himself fills us. Milui zeh mechuvan et chaso v'chashko. Do you fall prey? Are you able to push it away? Chutza, chutza. V'ketzam ha-sigim zo ba'im lidei ha-kara ki-ani Hashem Elokechem. Ha-saga l'malam ha-saga ad ki nasim elokai v'aloki noseach et ha-koach ha-tivi ki-or shlinato shokhein v'adam. V'im yishro ba-zara ma-Hashem o-michlal to'eva. But you realize that Hashem says, don't do this. Hashem says, this is inappropriate for your soul. Hashem says, this is not what's good for your wiring. That reality fills us and the godly self in us, and that gives us the ability to withstand. That gives us the ability to hold back. And I've heard this said quite a number of times. You know, you're on the computer and you're watching something. So just ask yourself the following question. If you were to pull up a chair and invite a Kadosh Baruch Hu to sit down right there in front of you, obviously we know intellectually Hashem is there, but now emotionally, here Hashem, you know, here's my popcorn, come join me, here's the chair, we'll share together, kivyachol, obviously, yeah, not literal. Would you feel comfortable? Or would you be a little embarrassed? I'm not sure you should be watching this right now, Hashem. You know, it's like, and I've mentioned this before, when I was teaching in Yula many moons ago, I drove these 11th graders as a mechanech, and I drove them to bowling one afternoon. So I had a bunch of kids in my car. We took a number of cars. A lot of kids drove themselves because this is, you know, L.A., 16, 17, you get a car. So I had a bunch of really, really fine girls in my car. Really B'nos Yisrael who've built Baruch Hashem beautiful Torah homes. So I had these 11th graders in my car, and I passed by on Pico Boulevard. I passed by a billboard that was of some jean billboard selling jeans. Yeah, it was a man and a woman on top of each other, really inappropriate. And as I was there, I slowed down and I said to the girls, because I want you to look at this. I wanted to point out to them that what they were being bombarded with, what they were seeing. And their immediate response, so all the girls in the car was, Mrs. Miles, you should be seeing things like this. So I'm glad they were concerned for my spiritual welfare. That was very nice of them. But what about their spiritual welfare? And how do you stop yourself from seeing these things? How do you stop yourself from saying, Hashem, are you comfortable sitting there? Ask yourself this question. Just like they were uncomfortable for me to see this, when I bring Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lahavda, obviously, into the picture, and I say it's uncomfortable for Kadosh Baruch Hu to be sitting with me as I'm looking at, that reality should put some cold water on our face and say, you know what, this isn't appropriate. I'm not going to fall into the Eretz Mitzrayim, the Maisa Mitzrayim, the Maisa Knan. It's a world of just those momentary physical pleasures, but it's meaningless. And I'm not living a life of dedicating every moment of coming closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, my friend, so that was pretty easy. I mean, we have to live it, but it's pretty self it's clear and self-evident that the first part of the pasuk is not just, you know, not to do avodah zarah and znos. That's obvious. It's don't bring yourself into a situation that may lead there. And it's much more than that. Don't lead a life like they lead. And again, you can be leading a Torah-dic a life on paper. Everything matches up. You dot every T and you cross every T, dot every I. Everything matches up. Every sifkat on the Mishnah Berurah. But you're not living a Torah life. You're living a life of depravity. You're living a life of taiva. You may be following all the rules, but where are you? Where are you holding? And that's what the Chumash is asking us. Bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the picture. The fight is a big fight. The pull is a very strong alluring pull. You need to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the picture. If we understand this, that the pull is such a great pull, and your mamish got to bring like the best arsenal, which is Kodesh Baruch Hu b'kvod v'atzmo kivyochol into the picture. So now we come to our original question. Why did Hashem do this? Just leave us, you know, like in Square Town. I don't know if Square Town is any more completely isolated and protected, but you can create a Gilgalon's Island, and we just live off of there, and Shalom Yisrael, we don't have to deal with all of this. Wouldn't that be much easier? Wouldn't that be much simpler? Why does Hashem Dafka put us in difficult lands? And as Rashi, based on the Medrash, said, it wasn't just they were power of lands, these were the worst of the worst. Like, what's going on here? So I'd like to take a look at three approaches, and I think that all three approaches are approaches that we personally struggle with, different aspects of them, as we live among the Goyim and as we live among the Goyish culture, and I think these have to be three mindsets for us to keep in mind. One, we'll start with the Ner Uzia, Rav Uzia Milevsky, where he says the following. Rashi explains, verse 23, the Torah mentions all the Egyptians, the Canaanites, because they were two most corrupt and depraved of all these nations. They were two nations whose ideology and values conflicted most of the way of life God requires of his chosen people. Considering the extreme decadence of these nations, why did God choose to enslave the Jews in Egypt of all places? Why did God allow the Canaanites of all peoples to settle the land that he himself had ordained to be a territory of the Jewish people? Again, our question. Squiggly. The world is a conglomerate of an antithetical forces. The Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, Zelu Maseas HaElokim. Hashem made one to contrast the other. Hashem created a balance in the world such that the greater the potential for any given force, the greater the potential for its opposite. Thus, the stronger powers of good, the greater the potential for evil. The greater the capacity for peace, the greater the likelihood of war. It is no coincidence, then, that more wars have been fought over Yerushalayim, the city whose very name signifies shalom, peace, than any other location in the world, since it's from Yerushalayim that the eternal peace and tranquility will ultimately spring forth. It's likewise no coincidence in Egypt, where there existed more impurity and defilement than anywhere else in the world, was the nation that enslaved the Jewish people, the Jews, who were chosen by God as a symbol, as the expression of holiness in this world, had to emerge from bondage in the very core of depravity. The deeper the impurity that surrounded their enslavement, the deeper would be the holiness that accompanied their emancipation. Likewise, the nation, land of Israel, the locale destined for the greatest holiness and the highest spiritual values, attracts the most impure and depraved elements. Why does Hashem do this? So the key answer is what Rav Miller speaks about in the Shabbat Shir in one line. Hitnagdut melateshet u'mechadedet kochot ha-nefesh. Opposition sharpens one's spiritual strength. A person is strengthened through the challenge of an opposing force. The reaction against something is much stronger than an action before the situation arises. And the Medrash says this quite simply. 26, the Almighty said, the Almighty, the destruction of the temple produced righteous individuals for me, whereas its construction generated evildoers. After the temple's destruction, there arose such personalities as Daniel, Mordechai, Ezra, Nehemiah, and their contemporaries. While the temple was standing, however, we find wicked people, Achaz, Menashe, Amnon, their contemporaries. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash generated a terrible and potent force of impurity in the world. It was precisely this factor, the reaction against evil, that caused the development of so many righteous people, individuals of such lofty standing. And we know this. Hashem knows the particular strengths and 27 and weaknesses, talents and deficiencies of each individual. It is only Hashem who can place his people in a situation of danger, for only he who knows they will emerge not only unscathed, but positively strengthened through the experience. No human being may deliberately place himself in a situation to jeopardize his spirituality, for he cannot guarantee himself that he possesses the fortitude to withstand the challenges he will face. However, when Hashem places the nation Egypt, it draws out their hidden potential, allowing latent spirituality and strength to surface and be made manifest. It was ultimately for the benefit of his people that the Almighty exiled the children of Israel to the dangerous territory, the refinery of Egypt. And that's what we have to understand. That on this level, and again, Rabbi Miller develops this at length, that sometimes when you are in a position of opposition and you have to fight that opposition, that's what's going to strengthen you. When you have a Churban Beis HaMikdash, there's no option but to stand up and be strong spiritually. The greatest scholars came from Yavne after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. When there is that void and there's that darkness, you have to fight for every aspect of light. Now again, as Rabbi Miller says, we don't have the right to put ourselves into a situation. Granted, but oftentimes we don't have to put ourselves in that situation. We are in that situation. And the ability to stand up for what we value to be true and right is what makes us stronger. We know this to be true, my friends, that if you have, let's say, a child, you're Makbid on Chol of Yisrael, and your children are in a school where not everyone is Makbid on Chol of Yisrael. For them to stand proud and stand up with pride to say, we don't eat these candy bars, we don't eat these ice creams, is going to make them stronger, and it's going to make them more proud of being who they are. Again, has to be presented in the right way. Obviously, anything has the potential. But oftentimes, when you have to fight for something, when you have to stand up for something, when you have a cause to really, that's what creates who you are. It's the opposition that's going to draw out. When you're surrounded by, in Egypt, all of this depravity, and the Jews had to fight against it, and the Jews had to be strong enough not to fall into that pit and that hole, that's what strengthened them. That's what made them stronger. That's what made them who they were. Rav Zaitchik in Or Chadash develops this even one step further. And he says it's not by accident that Hashem put into Klal Yisrael the Midah of Azus, that stubbornness. And he says quite simply, he says, people thrive on standing up for what they believe. And they'll die for what they believe. And they'll, scream it out and joy that Because people need to have something to live for, something to push themselves. That azus, that strength of character, that brazenness in a positive sense, that Hashem implanted, the Akshay Arif and Klal Yisrael, is what allowed them to be in Egypt and to be strong and not to break. And it's that azus that Klal Yisrael have wherever they are in Golos, that they're able to withstand and able to say, I'm sorry. It's 4 o'clock Erev Shabbos. I need to leave. Or it's a short Shabbos and 2 o'clock. I need to go home. But we have projects to do and who are you and we can fire you. That's fine. That's not fine, right? But I believe in my religion. That azos, that strength of character, is something that I have pride in. It's something that I hold on to. Something that Jews have held on to. That they'll have, you know, the pink slip after pink slip because they keep Shabbos. And, right, we spoke about the story of the person who used that to decorate their sukkah, his noy sukkah. There's that azos to Kedusha. This is what I believe in. This is what causes my strength. Now, here's something very fascinating that the Or Chadash notes, and he says in 32, we find that oftentimes people come back from war, you know, the heroes, the war heroes, and then they come back to normal, regular life, pedestrian life. They dwindle. They turn into nothing. Here they fought. They were the big macho heroes, and now they're nobody. Nobody recognizes them. And he says this is a real danger. It's a real danger that when you the challenge is that when you come back to normal life, so to speak, that you're able to find your causes, you're able to find your points of strength that you're able to hold on and believe in and move forward. You know, they say, this is again parenthetically, that one of the challenges of our generation, I know growing up, that Soviet Jewry was a big thing, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, open up the iron door, 5, 6, 7, 8, let our people emigrate, right? I used to go to rallies and I dressed up as a prisoner. I was once even in a calendar, my picture by the UN, you know, like it was whatever. You know, I was out there. There was causes, and the causes helped to define your Jewish identity and who you are. Today, our children don't have the same causes. They're not fighting for something. And if they're not fighting for something, it's hard for them to feel that sense of identity, that sense of self. And that's what he speaks about, not just on a personal level, on a national level. This is the message of back to that Medrash of the Shoshanah in 34. You should be like the Shoshanah, which means that not only when things are difficult and you're among thorns that you stand out like a rose, but even when you enter into Eretz Yisrael, al menucha v'lo nachla, when you enter into a world of peace and tranquility, al na yirpum azutam v'dal zutam u'pishutam af v'chayei shava, don't lose your passion, don't lose your force. And he says, listen to this, my friends, this is speaking to you and me. V'zeo nisayon ha'kasha v'yoter. This is one of the hardest things. She's new at Tara, that we should hate evil. Lo mitzad hakara Tara, mishtapecha p'nei nikshehem mishabdehem. Not when it's evil coming down our throats and obviously we're out there screaming. No. El mitoch hakara Tara ba'atzmiyuto. She nagei b'kochotav ha'chitzoniim neged ha'rash ha'na'utz b'toch ha'yeh shalva. The insidious evil. The evil that's hard to pick up on. The evil that you may not be rallying for. The evil that that makes us lead an apathetic life, a life just to run from one pleasure to another. That's where we have to be a Shoshanah ben Achochim. So the first level is, why did Hashem put us in these difficult situations? Zelu Matzeh. Wherever you have one force, you'll have another force. And we'll get back to this idea on the third level of the Torah, the Zelu Matzeh. But part of the Zelu Matzeh, one against the other, is Hashem pits us against the strongest nations in order for us to fight against the most, you know, really decadent and depraved people in order to bring out our strengths, in order to push us to be the best us we can be. And this is something that we have to understand, that sometimes living among the Goyish world, having to define who we are, having to stand up where we can say to our child, this is not our values. We don't need to have, you know, Pokemon and the Pokemon days and this and that day. We don't need to necessarily have that on every knapsack, lunchbox, and everything that comes through our house. We can have things that are more Torahic and more Parav, you know, that we display. And it's a struggle. Okay, so you might say that that's not... Everyone's going to have to decide for themselves and for their families what is appropriate and what's not. We're just here giving examples of how the culture comes in. And to be able to say to your child, but we don't, everyone else does. And again, it's not easy. But sometimes to stand in opposition, there's a certain pride where the child will say, we don't do this in our family. And that strengthens a child. It doesn't weaken them. It strengthens them. It gives them the Jewish identity. It makes them clear on who they are. Why put us in such a difficult situation? Because in order to appreciate black, you need to have white. You need to have the contrast. And by struggling to reach that contrast and to constantly work on it, that's what creates greatness. However, we have to understand that we can't say, well, I don't have, you know, them, you know, burning and major anti-Semitism. Do I have to stand up for my Jewish values? That's what the Orchadash is saying. It's not only in a Nazi Germany wearing the yellow star. It's in very small areas in our own lives. Some of them are not so small, where this is just not appropriate. I don't care if everyone has. This is just not what we do. That's idea one. Idea number two is the Asufos Marachos from Goldsmith Zatzel, who again brings this imagery of the Shoshana Ben Achochim and of a little bit of a different medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, where Hashem was ready to destroy the entire world, almost like the mashal of a king who's ready to destroy his whole orchard. But when he sees this one little Shoshana, he says, for this, I'm going to keep my orchard around, even though it's not growing the way I want it to. For the Jewish people, Hashem keeps the entire world around. What's the deeper understanding of this medrash? So Rav Goldsmith here has a very, very long essay, as typical of Rav Goldsmith. I'd just like to highlight, and it's an idea we saw Rav Soto in our pre-Pesach Shir, Silver Settings. He speaks about the idea of Olam Chesed Yibane. The world is predicated on Chesed. It's the Amat HaBinyan. It is the beam that the whole building rests on. And we know, V'chol Binyan Shior Koma Ruchani, Misto V'Tachlito B'Chesed. The entire building of Jewish people and the asterisk in 37 is Chesed. V'Triyatot Chesed, begins with Chesed. K'nesh Yisrael R'sheita V'Tashtita B'Chesed L'Avram. Who was our founding forefather was Adam Ravinu. V'gam amida b'amitzayin en navi yuchudo shal dor mitzrayim. Zacharti lachesed nurayach. What was the quintessential mida of the generation that left Egypt? Remembering the chesed of leaving Egypt. Right? The whole idea of Rut is the Megillah of Chesed. This is what Klal Yisrael is about. And he notes, now where do you get chesed from? Chesed comes from that deeper part of self that wants to give, that has a tremendous amount of love and wants to use it. And he brings here an idea that, frankly, I had never seen before in 38, which I immediately shared with whoever one of my kids was around them, because I was blown out of the water. He says that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Asi Lavo is going to take away the Yitzhahara from the world, right? We know the Siroti, the whole idea of taking away the Orla Levavchem, that you won't have a Yitzhahara in the future. So it's an obvious question, like if you're not going to have a Yitzhahara, so where's Bechira, where's your free choice? There's a lot of Torah on this, but I never seen this idea before. He says, Einam ura el miyachas l'yitzra de'esa. But Hashem says, I'm going to take away your Yetzirah. It's only the Yetzirah of Esav, which is the Yetzirah HaGaiva, HaTkifut VaRitzicha, the idea of the ego, the idea of killing, the idea of one person lording over another. That Yetzirah is going to be gone. Aval yetzer hachemda v'taiva, but the yetzer for desire. Af hu alma de'asi lechdagi yehizaku klub amita. We're going to need this mita. We're going to need the mita of desire in order to be able to give to other people. We're going to need the mita of desire in order to be able to build the world of olam chesed yibaneh. And he says, and this is the key, that in order to be able to really accept Torah, you need the totality of the emotional experience. And part of that can sometimes be, quote-unquote, negative qualities that you're going to channel to the positive. You see, this is really getting at, these two opinions so far, to really the heart of what it, of, and this is a discussion in the Sforim, of what do you do with your Yetzer Hara? So one is, you fight it, and you try to get rid of it, and the other is, you embrace it, and you work with it. This is saying this, is that why do we go down? And he says this clearly. V'davar zan nochlim mipi chachamim b'chol makom in source 40. Shagalu shagalu lam l'Yisrael no adlam tafkid bonet. Why do we go into galus? Obviously we have to pay for our sins, but it's a building process. V'Yisrael skukim l'chol otam kochora blu'im ba'umos. Every nation has a quality, and these qualities oftentimes are lost and in a lot of negativity, and it's hard to see the core good quality. Jews are found in Golos to be able to pinpoint this quality, to elevate this quality, and to use it for good. Why were we down in Mitzrayim? We went down into Mitzrayim in 41 to get the Rechush Gadol. What was the Rechush Gadol? It was to get the ability to have love. They used that love for self-love, that love for znus, for zima, for morality, and we're able to use that love for love of Hashem. The whole idea of Golos is to be able to take those qualities in the goyim around us and be able to make them part and parcel of our of who we are, to be able to live a Torah lifestyle. Why does Hashem put us in the worst and the most difficult? Because they have the greatest amount to offer. They have a koach, they have a spark, they have a nekuda, they have a tchuna, they have something about them that makes them incredibly important and strong. And it's difficult, and it's a milchama, and it's a war, and there are many casualties often in a war. But if you're able to take that quality and not get caught up in it in the negative way of that society, but be able to elevate it and be able to use it as part of your repertoire in Torah, then it was worth being in Golos, because you have gained a tremendous amount. You've gained qualities from them that enable us to become better people, to be able enable us to become stronger people. Klomar in 42, Shedotana Kochoda Tzmam Sheshimshua Tamitzrim B'Mitzrayim, the very qualities that the Egyptians used in Egypt, Suma Lechel Mafno Lafikim Shakadusha, you have to be able to use them for the vistas of holiness, Mekocham Gufa, Lalo. To be able to use those very qualities for Torah. There's a lot of goodness in this world. We have to be able, in the language of the Tiva Torah, Gamliel Rabinowitz in Source 44, Kedei Lotzi Yekar Mezuzal, Lotzakena Bimurim V'Nitzosot Sham. Hashem puts us in, as individual people, sometimes in very, very difficult and strange situations, right? Again, we shouldn't put ourselves in these situations. But if we see ourselves that we are in this situation, we have to be able to recognize that there is some level of Kedusha, some sparks that have to be elevated and extricated from this place. And we have to realize that Hashem has put us here in order to be able to take out this kochos, these tremendous abilities, these tremendous goodness, and be able to channel them to Hashem. So idea one, why does Hashem put us there? To fight. And through the fighting and opposition, we become stronger. Our Jewish identity becomes stronger. Two, why are we in these situations? We're in these situations in order to be able to take out their power, to be able to take out their tchuna, their quality, and be able to utilize that in the service of Hashem. There's a lot out there that has a tremendous amount of goodness. We have to be able to access that. And there is goodness in the entire world that we have to be able to tap into and go into these different places. We learn, and we know this, that among every nationality, there are certain aspects that if we're able to take, not in its own right, but in order to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu better, Matov Amanai. Our third and final idea, and then we'll wrap up, is the idea of the Das Torah. And he asks, Ki Maza Sher Kadosh Baruch Hu Shiva Mevechuva Mevitzrayim Mekom Achud Mekukal 45. Why did Hashem put us there? And he answers the following, and he says, he answers a number of answers, but he says the following. Vevsher gam ki yucholim lomo bebiur inyan. Listen to this, it's wild. Ki agoyim nitkalku toward the bottom of 45, omnam mechamat biyatam vishivatam shisrael shana. We're looking at it as these are the most depraved people and the most decadent people, and Hashem specifically put us there. No. There's another way to look at it, says Rav Yerucham. You know what that is? Yerucham Levovitz says that we went to that place. We, of the tremendous Kedusha that we have, entered into that place. Going back to the idea of Zelu Matzeh, one counters the other. We, who have so much Kedusha, created the reality that these nations then became intensified in Tuma. It caused the Egyptians to be worse. This is what we find, is that the nations, once we enter into a place, we who exhibit such tremendous kedusha, bring out what we would call a severe reaction among the nations that make them who they are. The intensity of the nations is a response to our intensity. That Hashem, in order to create a balanced world, has, when we walk in with this powerhouse of Kedusha, He creates this powerhouse of Tuma. And he goes on to say in 46, it's a very beautiful piece. He says, a very historically interesting piece. He says, if you think that the Jewish people are a nation, like any other nation, that they get along with their neighbors, they don't get along with the neighbors, you are so mistaken. The Jewish people do not follow any of these rules. And the reality is there's anti-Semitism built in from moment go. And we have to understand that when we walk into a place, there's going to be an anti-Semitic response from the other nations, whether it makes no sense or not. He quotes here about the protocols of the elders of Zion, who say that the Jews are taking over the world and they're destroying all the Germans. Like, it makes no sense. It doesn't need to make sense. Because the whole idea of the Jewish people is that we bring out the intensity of the sinah, of the hatred of the nations just by us being us, and we bring out the intensity and almost the worst of the tuma of the nations, parallel to our Kedusha, parallel to our holiness. And there is Zelu Umatzeh, there is this balance, one from the other. Just to end with the story, and then we'll summarize everything we've seen. It's a story that's written up in the Sfarim in different books. It's a story I heard by the individual who it was related about, sister. So, pretty accurate story of a very chashuv person in Los Angeles, a psychologist, a rav, who's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, who, the story goes, different versions, when he was in graduate school, they brought in a witch. And the witch gave a demonstration and spoke about witchcraft, etc. And then asked if there are any questions. And she completely ignored when this person's hand was up. So after a break, the students decided to fix it, that nobody would raise their hand except this fellow. So after the break, she comes in. Anyone else have questions? He raises his hand. Anyone else? So she's forced to answer his question because everyone saw she was ignoring him. And she became physically sick, whether she went out to vomit or she felt like she had to. And she explained, she said, this individual has the power of tefillah, a prayer, the power of connection to God. her witchcraft and her world of Tumah really felt the opposition of the Kedusha, of that holiness. There is something that exists in this world where those two forces are pitted up one against the other, and there's a fight, there's a war going on. So when we ask the question, well, why did Hashem put us in this situation? So again, one is he did this to strengthen us. Opposition creates strength and pride. Two is he did this in order for us to draw out the good qualities and to be able to take out, in this case of Egypt, the quality of love instead of using it for self-love directed toward God. And the third is, he didn't do this to the nations. This is the way the world is wired. Wherever we are, do we represent morality, ethics, Kedusha, holiness? The nations are going to respond with the exact opposite extreme. This is the way, so to speak, the world is wired. For both sides, the lesson for us is very clear. We, as individuals and as a nation, are surrounded by opposition of all types. We're surrounded by a culture of gullus. We're surrounded by individuals that represent the antithesis of what we believe in. How do we ourselves, and how do we educate our children to be able to deal with this reality? These are the struggles. And again, no easy solution, but struggles. Sometimes the struggle itself to say no is what's going to create strength. Sometimes it's to take that quality and be able to utilize it and say, yes, there is goodness here. Let's be able to utilize it to serve Hashem. The recognition of that we stand as an Am HaNivchar, that we are in the king's palace, and that we're going to create this reality of those around us. This fellow, this Rav, this Chashav individual is going to create, elicit this reaction and this switch. There's no option. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wired the world. Our challenge, my friends, is to be able to recognize that there's a slippery slope out there, and that it's very easy to say, well, I'm not going to be tempted, and I'm not going to be affected, and. The reality is, without the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very easy to slip into this world. Ani Hashem Elokechem is the beginning. This is the message of Yom Kippur. Bring Hashem into your life and recognize that what makes us different from all the nations around us and why we have to be careful not to follow the ways of the nations is that we don't live a life solely for ourselves, solely for our personal benefit and what is good for us. We live a life dedicated completely and totally of what is Ritzon Hashem, what brings Nachat Ruach to Hashem, and how I can elevate my life into a greater, more spiritual life.